Russia is continuing its attacks on defense facilities across Ukraine, including fuel depots, with this site in the western city of Lutsk getting hit overnight. With talks expected to start between the two warring sides, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has struck a conciliatory tone. He seems to accept Russia's military presence in some parts of Ukraine in some form as part of any deal.
I understand it's impossible to make Russia give up territory completely. That will lead to World War III. I understand completely. I'm aware.
He's also confirmed he is willing to consider Ukrainian neutrality in the future, provided President Putin pulls back his forces. On Ukraine's western border with Poland, there's relative order after the chaotic exodus of refugees in recent weeks. In the early days of the conflict, with tens of thousands of people leaving Ukraine every day, this was one of the busiest crossings, with people lining up for a whole day just to get across into Poland. The numbers of people leaving has declined significantly, and there's also now been an increase in people coming the other way. Maria is coming back from the Czech Republic after leaving her hometown in eastern Ukraine that's now occupied by the Russians.
I decided to come back because my husband is here and it's very hard to be away from him. I was sad.
Lyubov left the eastern city of Dnipro nearly 2 weeks ago, but is now returning also.
I'm coming back to check on my mother and see what the situation is like. My daughter is 14 and I've left her with my older daughter in Poland.
Any peace talks are likely to include the future of the bitterly contested coastal strip from Russian-controlled Crimea to the breakaway eastern regions in the Donbass. President Zelensky has revealed he is in regular contact with troops in the besieged city of Mariupol and seems to accept they face overwhelming odds.
I tell them, if you feel you need to leave, if you feel it's the right thing to do, then do it.
But he also says, so far, his soldiers have refused to give in. Rob McBride, Al Jazeera, Lviv.
Now, the UN Secretary General has called for an immediate ceasefire in Ukraine. Antonio Guterres said it would help both Russia and Ukraine find a political solution to the conflict.
The solution to this humanitarian tragedy is not humanitarian. It is political. I'm therefore appealing for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire to allow for progress in serious political negotiations aiming at reaching a peace agreement based on the principles of the United Nations Charter. A cessation of hostilities will allow essential humanitarian aid to be delivered and enable civilians to move around safely.
And Kristin Salumi joins us now from the UN headquarters in New York. So we heard the appeal there of Antonio Guterres. How much traction is that call for an immediate ceasefire gaining, though, amongst member states?
Well, what we heard is the Secretary General attempting to capitalize on a General Assembly resolution that was passed late last week calling for just that, a humanitarian cessation of hostilities, a ceasefire, the term that he used, even stronger term. The General Assembly directed that call at Russia. 140 countries supported it. Obviously, there's immense concern at the United Nations about the humanitarian spillover, not only just the impact on Ukraine, but on other countries in the region and the world who rely on Ukraine for grain, the impact on food prices, and so on, potentially spilling over and elsewhere into the conflict. So what we heard was Secretary General Antonio Guterres talking about efforts that he has implemented, including naming Humanitarian Chief Martin Griffiths to take on the job of attempting to work on a cessation of hostilities for humanitarian purposes, which could then lead the way to more substantive peace talks, because as we just heard there, he acknowledged that any lasting peace will have to be based on a political solution, not just the humanitarian solution, but using that humanitarian urgency as a common ground, as a way to move things forward. We'll see if the sides listen in any way, but he mentioned that he already has a UN staff on the ground in Moscow and engaging with all sides in the conflict to try to make that happen.
All right, Kristin, take us through the remarks Mr. Guterres made after that press conference about the Russian president. What did he have to say?
Well, you know, interesting remarks. The United Nations Secretary General is always very diplomatic. It's part of his job not to take sides in a conflict. He has been critical of President Putin and calling on him to end the war and end the aggression because of the impact it's having on civilians and so on there. But he was specifically asked about President Joe Biden of the United States and the comments he made over the weekend, saying that President Putin can no longer stay in power. When asked about that, Guterres said very quickly and succinctly that there needs to be a de-escalation, not only of fighting, but also of rhetoric. Again, the United Nations attempting to keep the focus on international law as the basis for anything that it does. And the criticism of Russia has been that it's violating national sovereignty. So the United States calling for something on the ground in another country is not something that the United Nations is likely to get behind. An attempt to keep a more neutral focus and an attempt on a cessation of hostilities based on something that all members of the United Nations General Assembly have expressed concern on in some way, and that is the humanitarian situation.
All right. Thanks so much, Kristin Salumi. Well, Mariupol is on the verge of a humanitarian catastrophe, according to its mayor, who's calling for a complete evacuation. About 160,000 civilians remain trapped in the besieged port city. The Ukrainian deputy prime minister says no new humanitarian corridors are open after reports of possible provocations along the routes. Russia has denied targeting civilians. Close to 4 million refugees are estimated to have fled Ukraine since the war began late last month. And volunteers from around the world are flooding into neighbouring countries like Poland to help care for them. But this is creating its own problems. Kimberly Halkett is in Rzeszów, one of Poland's main refugee reception points. All right, let's go over to her live there. She joins us from there. So, Kimberly, how much coordination are you seeing actually on the ground between aid organisations?
Incredibly, there is almost no coordination. That is what surprised us when we visited the Medyka border crossing, which is not far from where I'm standing right now. What we found when we got there was as people crossed into Poland from Ukraine on foot, they were overwhelmed by what they found on the other side, this kind of patchwork of, in most cases, good-intentioned people, but with really no organization of purpose. In other words, what they found were people who decided to get on a plane and come and help, but with no official backing behind them. There were NGOs that nobody had ever heard of, and there were also even private companies who said they were there to help, but really in more ways than one, we're pushing their latest product. And what this has led to are people crossing Ukraine kind of fleeing one danger for another, in that they don't have a plan, many of them. They were so focused on getting out of Ukraine, they didn't think about what would happen when they crossed into Poland and what they would do next. And that has left them open to the suggestion and the power of suggestion of people they can't necessarily trust. And as a result, this has left a lot of refugees particularly vulnerable.
I'm Kimberly. When we talk about those most at risk, what kind of assistance are they getting there?
Well, those most at risk tend to be women, they tend to be children, and we even saw elderly and disabled that were not getting the services that they needed because there's absolutely no one in charge. There's no coordination. And as a result, we talked to the authorities in this area, we talked to local police and said, what are you doing to investigate the people that are showing up to help? How are you checking their backgrounds? And they said, they aren't. It's not our problem. We're not tasked tasked with this responsibility in any way. These people are just passing through, so it's really nothing to worry about. But the problem is that we're hearing that a lot of people are becoming victim and falling victim to the unscrupulous. And what this has really led to is the fact that since there is no one vetting, the aid is overwhelming. What this has really opened up is another industry that people don't want to admit, and that is human trafficking. And that's what we're going to be looking at Tuesday on Al Jazeera. This industry that has sprung up, one that the police say doesn't exist and is misinformation, even as they're handing out pamphlets at the Madika border crossing saying this is what you need to look out for if you want to protect yourself. So it's a controversial issue no one wants to talk about, but it's one that's on the rise.
All right. We'll leave you there. Thanks so much, Kimberly Halkett.